Would you like to turn to Romans 8? Now, there's no doubt that as we start the new year of 2018, we live in a dangerous and challenging world. The threats of terrorist attacks, the various economic and political events that seem to occur every day, the weather that appears to be getting even more unpredictable, and of course we can't forget the internet. You name it, it seems that there are things all around us that seek to unsettle us. But as challenging as it seems today, it's also a sad fact that there are those of us who are a little bit older who will always tell you that it was worse in our day. I can remember, that's usually the start to get the violins out, I can remember that in the 60s we were all concerned about nuclear annihilation as the great powers engaged in saber-rattling, and the Berlin Wall effectively separated the free world from the communist world. The Russians stationed missiles in Cuba, and the USA demanded that they be removed. The standoff between Khrushchev in Russia and Kennedy in the USA made Trump for North Korea seem childish. The snow of 1947 was up to 3 or 4 foot deep everywhere and lasted from January to March and was followed by massive flooding as the snow eventually melted. The country was recovering from the most terrible Second World War and things were in short supply. Despite the valiant efforts of the miners, there was not enough coal and the power stations were unable to provide enough electricity, so there were frequent power cuts. Then came the winter of 1965, when it was so cold and snowy that when Diane was born at the end of November, the midwife struggled to visit and Joan couldn't take her out until well after Christmas. But we survived to tell the tale. And we like to annoy all of you younger ones with moans of, you don't know your bone. And that reminded me of this very well-known scripture of in Romans 8. And we'll read it from verse 28 to verse 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who brings any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? For as it's written, for your sake we face death all day long, we are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't know if any of you can remember the cartoon strip Peanuts that used to appear in some newspapers. The Adventures of Charlie Brown and His Friends has become one of the most popular cartoon strips ever. And one of my favourite characters in this comic strip was a very young lad named Linus. Can you put the PowerPoint on, Stephen? There we are, there's Linus. As we can see, Linus is attached to a comfort blanket. He was never seen without his blanket. Whenever Snoopy the dog tries to sneak up and steal his blanket, Linus holds on for dear life. He's not going to let go of his security and his comfort. And I know that many children have a favourite blanket or teddy or something that they cling to. And even when they get older, it's still probably kept on their bed. There is something very comforting about that old blanket. But you know, regardless of our age, we all still hold on to our security blankets. It probably isn't a blanket or a teddy, though it could be, but we need something to anchor our lives, to give us stability and security. And it could be one of the many things. It could be family, a familiar routine that we follow every day, yeah. Bank accounts, investments, pensions, good health, physical fitness, lots of friends, the list goes on. And there are all sorts of grown-up security blankets that we hold on to for dear life to give us some sense of stability and certainty and comfort in an ever-changing and often dangerous or threatening world. We spend a lot of time, money and energy trying to find some anchor, some foundation for our lives. We keep trying to control our own fortunes and our own destiny. We keep trying to play God by trying to make the world work the way we think it should. But sooner or later, we discover, sometimes tragically, that the ultimate answers in life, the security and safety we long for, simply can't be found in the things we cling to. The answer to life is beyond us, beyond anything in this world that we hold on to. In our reading this evening from Romans 8, the Apostle Paul tells us some amazing things. This single chapter offers us more wonderful promises of God than we can handle. Yeah. Paul tells us that even when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, God in his mercy, through the power of the Holy Spirit, interprets our prayers in ways that benefit us and are for our good. Paul tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? But then he gives us one of the greatest and most comforting promises in all of Scripture. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful, powerful promise, full of hope and assurance. But then he goes on to say in verse 28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And as Christians, we believe that our destiny and the destiny of this world is not ultimately in our own hands, nor is it in the hands of world leaders, advanced technology, pension plans or health foods. No, as Christians, we believe that our ultimate destiny and therefore our ultimate security is in the hands of God. This is the same God who's been faithful down through the centuries. The same God who continues to work through human history. The same God who revealed his love and grace to us through the suffering, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We believe in the providence of God. We believe that God, in his divine wisdom and goodness and love, holds the future in his hands. We believe that God will, in human history, as well as in our own lives, his will ultimately will be done. And that's what Paul means when he says that all things work together for good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But, and I know I sound a bit like the BBC here, but every time they tell you anything they come up with a but the big problem with this is that there are many times, many circumstances, when we simply do not see it. We don't really believe that all things work together for good. Take, for instance, the scene at the cemetery where a child is lying in the coffin. We don't know what to say, but sooner or later, some well-meaning person will say, well, God must have wanted another angel in heaven. We have to accept God's will. It will all work out for the good somehow. What are we saying? That God did this to that precious child? That the death of this child is God's will? That the tragic death of a dear child will bring good into our lives? No, that's not what we're saying at all. The child was what was good. The child's death, the child's loss, is what is bad. And there's no doubt about it. Bad things do happen in our world. Bad things do happen in our lives. sickness, suffering, death, accidents, addiction, crime, divorce, abuse, war, floods, you name it, bad things happen. But as Christians, we experience them along with everyone else in the world. So how can Paul say that all things work together for good for those who love God? Well, here are a couple of things for us to consider that may help us understand what Paul is saying. First, Paul is not making some sort of airy-fairy claim that completely ignores the realities of pain, evil, and suffering in our world. Paul is not saying that Christians, those who are called according to God's purpose, will never have anything happen to them, that life will be a bed of roses. Because Paul knew what suffering was. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from river, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger for false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and I've been naked. Now, does that sound like a man who lived a comfortable and safe life? But what Paul is saying is that in this world of trouble, hardship, and strife, our lives are in the loving hands of God. And God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. Therefore, we can look at the future with confidence. We don't have to be afraid. Even in the midst of all the bad things that can happen, even in the face of all the uncertainty and insecurity in this world, we can live in faith and confidence, knowing that ultimately the will of God will be done. And ultimately the will of God will be good, and it will be a life and salvation, not evil and death. But in addition, we need to realize that we'll not always see or recognize or know the good that comes from the bad in our lives. The truth is, to say we believe that in all things God works for the good is a statement of faith. There are many times when we'll not see the good. There are many times when we'll not recognize the good, even if it's right there in front of us. We may have to accept the fact that our definition of good may not always be what God calls good in his divine wisdom. Yet God does work for good. But we may not see the good until that final day when we stand in his presence, our eyes will be opened, and all the troubling and nagging questions will be finally answered. And won't that be a wonderful day when we will finally be able to say, ah, now I see, now I understand. But then, to believe that in all things God works for the good is not a reason to slide into some sort of fatalism that says, well, whatever will be, and it'll all end up good in the end, so what can I do about it anyway? Yes, God's will shall be done in the end. But at the same time, are we going to be seen as having been participants in God's will, living our lives in harmony with God's will? Or is it God's will going to be accomplished in spite of us? Are we living in harmony with God's will, or are we fighting against it by our actions or that inactivity? This means that if you're unemployed, you don't sit around waiting for God to give you a job. You go out looking. You fill out applications. You get additional training, whatever it takes. And you trust God that good will come. When a flood or a famine occurs that leaves thousands homeless, you don't sit back and say, well, God will take care of them. It'll all work out for the good. No, it means digging into your pocket and helping that good to happen, or volunteering your time and energy to bring relief to those who suffer. Sometimes God's will is accomplished through people like you and me. In the same way you study for exams, you try and eat a well-balanced diet and get regular exercise, you drive safely, you help the poor, You protect the environment. You minister to the suffering. You proclaim the gospel. You try to do everything in your power and wisdom to live in line with the will of God and be one of God's agents in bringing about to this world the good that God promises. But ultimately, we live by faith and not by sight. We continue to see and experience all sorts of evil, suffering and death around us and within us. Sometimes the things that happen just don't make any sense at all. Sometimes we hurt and grieve and suffer and we don't know why. We don't see the good. Yet at the same time, we believe the promise of God that in all things God works together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes life is like a tapestry, you know, like those cross-stitch pictures. If you look at it from the rear side, all you see is a confusing jumble of knots and threads and colours. It seems chaotic, without form or rhyme or reason. But if you look at it from the other side, from the right side, it all comes together into a beautiful masterpiece of colour, design and purpose. In our humanity, in our limited vision and perspective, we see life from the rear side. We don't always see what God's hand is designing and creating. But one of these days we will. And when that day comes, we along with Paul will be able to say without doubt or hesitation, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That promise is our anchor in this troubling and confusing world. That promise is our security, our comfort, and our hope. We don't need a blanket like Linus. We have the assurance and confidence in God, and that's the best security of all. So let's go forward into 2018 with the confidence that God's got it all in hand, that this coming year will be a good year, no matter what the world throws at us. Work with God, trust in him, and have a really good 2018. Amen.